Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, we bring to you three-time Super Bowl champion, NFL broadcaster, the newest member of the East-West Shrine Hall of Fame. It is Daryl Moose. Oh my gosh, that was a long one. Johnston, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Have you ever had an interaction with somebody where they wanted to show you how long they could say moose, and you were like, I got other stuff to do today?
It is funny because it does tend to be extended at times. So I've never had anybody take the big breath in and see how long they can run with it.
See, that's the thing. Like my childhood, we had Steve Buschel, and then we had you. And I was always kind of curious, what was it like to go into somebody else's stadium and hearing them say that for you when you touch the ball?
Yeah, well, it was. Are they actually saying moose or are they actually booing? So I always used it as, you know, it depends on what way you want to frame it. So yeah, it was always somebody supporting me, but you know, kind of hard to think that would happen in the Vet or RFK.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was probably some boos that were smattered in there as well, but yeah, I did appreciate it. And I think, you know, just the way that I approached my business and how I played the game, you know, there's a little bit of respect there where it's not, you know, I'm on the other team, I'm on the opposing team, but hey, you know what? He plays hard. Yeah, he's physical. He does things that other people won't do. So I think I always had a little bit of respect from the opponent.
Yeah, that's the way I always took it whenever I heard it.
You talked about two like very notoriously hostile environments. We were just talking about this the other day. Trey Savage, the pitcher with the Toronto Blue Jays, has been talking about like people adjacent to him, like family members or his girlfriend getting harassed. Did you ever experience any of like your friends or loved ones getting harassed as well? Because I have to admit, that's a part of fandom that I don't really understand. I understand like booing somebody or going after them, but like somebody who isn't actually in the game, that is confusing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where it crosses the line. I've never had anybody, you know, to a confrontational component. But my wife is from the Philadelphia area. So, early on in our marriage, we had a Monday night game at the Vet when it was still a 9 PM Eastern kickoff, which allows the Philly fans quite a bit of time to even complete their day of work, and still imbibe in their favorite beverage, for multiple hours before they walk in. And when you played at Philadelphia, they put us in I got to get this right now. It's the 700 level, which is kind of the rowdiest section of the Vet.
Yeah.
And my father-in-law went in with silver and blue and the star. Oh. And at 60 years old, you know, just not what you would do, you know, to a couple that's sitting in front of you, that are in their 60s. And it just, yeah, that was disappointing. That's the most disappointing one I've ever heard. And you know, never wanted to go again. You know, we didn't enjoy it. We didn't like it. You know, I've heard the same thing about the blue seats at Madison Square Garden. They kind of put the visiting team there. I think it's the NFL should have a rule where you cannot, you know, you have a notorious section in your stadium. You cannot put the visiting team anywhere near that section.
Yeah, I'm with that.
That's a good idea.
Moose, this season's already been kind of wild and wacky. And Jerry talks about a lot of times about parity in the league and how it's kind of built and designed for that. Does there seem to be an elite team in this NFL right now, or are they all still trying to find their ways?
I think they're still all trying to find their ways. I think that there's issues with everybody. You know, what are we at the power poll right now? Tampa Bay and Indianapolis,
yeah.
1-2.
Yeah, as we all predicted.
You know, yeah, right. There's a couple other teams out there that are struggling, right? Arizona's 2-4, and yet they did the same thing that Tampa did, but they lost all three games that came down to the final play of the game, where Tampa's won all three games that came down to the final play of the game. So I think we're getting closer games, and we're getting teams that have been together long enough that they know how to win a game in that situation. They can find a way to win. I think Indianapolis, for me right now, is a team that I would keep my eye on. They have a very good offensive and defensive line. They can beat you with Jonathan Taylor running the football. Michael Pittman is healthy. Daniel Jones is a legitimate quarterback. It's not a feel-good story anymore. It's just it's a really good team. I think that they would be a team that you would want to keep your eye on. But then, I mean, you've got to watch, you know, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs as they get everything sorted out and they start to get people back and they get healthy. I think that's the biggest thing to look at right now is okay, who are the top teams that are a little bit disappointing? Are they hit hard by the injury bug, you know, through the first month of the season? And will they get those guys back, and will they get the ship righted? Because that happened to Kansas City a couple seasons ago. I mean, we were at Thanksgiving and they were an absolute disaster.
Right.
And then just went on a tear and ended up winning a Super Bowl that year. So yeah, I think we have to wait and see. I think there's a couple of teams that are new to the conversation, which is great. But yeah, I would keep an eye on, you know, the Eagles, the Chiefs, the Bills. I think Baltimore is the one that's really just a head scratcher for everybody right now.
Dumbfounded.
Yeah, it's the only reason I'm glad about what's happening to Baltimore is you have another defense that you could talk about in the same category as the Cowboys defense right now. Because, like, I think people lose sight. I know Lamar Jackson got hurt, but people, I think, have lost sight of that defense for Baltimore has been pretty bad so far.
Yeah, and it's just, again, that's the big thing, right? They don't have Lamar, but if you looked at the defense side of the ball and who they're missing,
exactly.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And, you know, we had a conversation with Drew Petzing, the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals before our last game, last weekend. And just, for me, it's James Conner. When you watch James Conner on film, it's never pretty. It's never explosive. It's physical. It's always more yards than you thought. So he was that kind of emotional engine for that team. And how do you replace that guy? And he said, well, it's like everything, right? When you lose somebody that's your starter, you know, he's your starter for a reason. So there's certain things you're not going to be as good at. There's certain things that maybe come out of the playbook for a while. And I think we just got a number of teams that have been on the top for a long time where that's the situation. Why can't we stop the run? Well, you know, Madubuike is out of the lineup. You know, he is that good for Baltimore. So, yeah, I think we have to look at it, you know, through the whole, you know, a real narrow lens, especially when we're talking about that injury situation.
You said something that I think is amazingly interesting. Not that I'm not locked in on everything that you say, but Daniel Jones is no longer like a nice story. And how tough is it for quarterbacks to break that narrative? Because Baker Mayfield seems like he has surged to be the MVP favorite, or at least second, and Daniel Jones has the Colts rocking and rolling. But how hard is it to change your perception as a quarterback?
I had a conversation with Carson Palmer several years ago while he was in Arizona, and I'll always remember this. I said, how many quarterbacks are on the street right now that should be playing in the NFL, but because of timing and circumstance, got shuffled out of the league too early? And he said, 8 to 10.
Wow.
Immediately, 8 to 10. And he goes, a couple of them are probably better than I am right now at this stage of my career. So that just tells you about the fit. And now let's take that an extra step. Who are the three that we're talking about? We're talking about Baker Mayfield. We're talking about Sam Darnold. And we're talking about Daniel Jones. Where have all three of those been? They have been under the tutelage or spent a time or a brief amount of time with Sean McVay or with somebody from the Sean McVay tree.
Yep.
Baker Mayfield went out to the Rams before he came back to Tampa Bay on a 1-year prove it or lose it. Sam Darnold was a wash in multiple places, got around Kevin O'Connell, who I think may be the QB whisperer of all of them. I think he may be the best. And that's where Daniel Jones was last year. He left the Giants and he went to Minnesota and watched Sam Darnold turn his career around. He got to be around, you know, Kevin O'Connell. I mean, the support staff they have up there is a Josh McCown, Wes Phillips. I mean, it's there's like four guys that work. And one of the things that you'll hear is, I never realized I had to work that hard. I never knew how detailed you can get. And the one thing that we hear from the coaches is the most important thing that you can say to a quarterback is four words: I believe in you. Mm. And that is one of the things that we talk about, but then we also follow up with actions and preparation. So I think the way that the Sean McVay tree approaches the quarterback position is unique. Because we've got three glaring examples of guys who everybody thought career was over, and now all three of them could be, you know, considered one of the better quarterbacks, you know, in the league right now.
One of the things, and if you can kind of correct me if I'm wrong here, that I've been telling Kevin, I think with that group, it seems like they prioritize what's important for those guys, like what a quarterback needs to be thinking of. And that seems to be the most important factor, seeing how all of those guys have responded.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems like understanding what's important and everything else is kind of just out there. Is that kind of in that vein?
Yeah. I think probably the biggest thing they talk to him about, and which is, you know, I'm sure they've heard it from everybody they've been around, right? Stay ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
Take the boring play. Don't make the critical mistake. Be the leader in the huddle. We've given you everything at your disposal that you need to be successful. Now just go play, you know, don't, you know, play fast.
Yeah.
Be confident. You know, it's a lot of intangible things that they talk to them about. They've all got the physical skills to do it, or they wouldn't have been drafted where they were all drafted. So now it's just getting into that environment where you feel the trust from the coach and you have belief in yourself that you have at your disposal what you need to be successful. And I think that group of QB whisperers does a phenomenal job at that. And I would put Kyle Shanahan into that group as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Jones. Maybe a little bit more to your point where everything I designed is going to be designed to your strengths. I know what your strengths are. I know when you're playing the game, I've watched your career. I know, you know, what you need. I'm going to provide all that for you. And, you know, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, he made Jimmy Garoppolo into somebody who everybody wanted to have on their team for a while. He just can't stay healthy.
Yeah.
Brock Purdy became Brock Purdy. Mac Jones is getting revitalized out there now. I think you roll Kyle Shanahan into that, but he probably is closer to the reason why that you discussed that, you know, we're going to build this offense around everything that you do really, really well. And not force you into a system that has things that you don't do well, which everybody does. Everybody tries to play to the strength of the quarterback. But I think Kyle, he just does it a different way with the run game, with the pass game. What's your mobility? Where are your strengths inside the pocket, outside the pocket? He's like another level of detail in finding out what the strengths of the quarterback are.
Now, Moose, when you watch the Cowboys, do you have a lot of emotions that stir while you're seeing this team, these teams play?
Just when they do things that, you know, make you scratch your head. You know, you why are there guys wide open in the secondary all the time? You know, why, I think sometimes I've watched it with Chicago. You know, I'm getting ready for Saints at Chicago this week, and Chicago is great at taking the football away. But there's a lot of times where, you know, it seems like that's been overcoached, where, you know, this guy gets 8 yards after contact because you got two guys trying to rip the ball out and he's got great ball security and he's just going down the field. You know, it's the punch. It's the second guy in. You know, there's a time and a place, you know, to generate a takeaway. And I think sometimes, you know, they start to come in bunches and then you feel like you can't do anything wrong and the ball is going to bounce your way. And you just watch time after time these big runs that are happening to them because they're more worried about taking the football away than getting the guy to the ground. So I think there's a fine line there. And that's one of the things, you know, for me with Dallas, every once in a while I see that too. You can tell that, you know, they're being, you know, coached real hard on taking the football away. And sometimes, you know, that's prioritized more than the fundamental of making the tackle.
Talk with Gerald Johnston right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, I know yesterday they had the ceremony to get everything amped up for the East-West Shrine Bowl, which will be Tuesday, January 27th at the Ford Center at the Star. By the way, shrinebowl.com if you want to get those tickets. I wanted to get your thoughts about not only being inducted into their Hall of Fame, but also one of the pictures I saw was with Dallas Edwards, and I was reading more about that kid's story, and I was curious how much time you had to maybe talk or hear his story as well.
Oh, I got to visit with him before the event, and then we sat next to each other, and I got to visit with him and his mom after the event as well, too. You can't find a better ambassador with the matchup that they have right now, right? If you know, the East-West Shrine game is there to support Shriners' children, Dallas is the best ambassador you could ever have because he's both, right? He's been a part of Shriners' children since he was young, and he had the amputation on his left leg, and he's also a starting middle linebacker for his football team and has 10 sacks this season playing with a prosthetic leg. So he was amazing. And the one story he told us is – you know, when he was younger, he tried to work through it. He was born without a fibula. And it just, you know, that's the weight bearing bone, you know, on your lower leg, if I'm not mistaken. I think the tibia is the non weight bearing bone. So he had the weight bearing bone, and it was, you know, he couldn't do certain things when he got to a certain age. And so he knew the road that he was going to have to go down. And the one that he mentioned to us was, he raved about his doctor, how his doctor was super positive with him down in the Shreveport area about doing the procedure and everything was going to be fine. And what do you want to do? Let me make sure that I understand what your thoughts are and what your vision is coming into this huge surgery. So I make sure that I do everything possible that you can attain those. And you know, told him I want to be able to continue to play football with my friends. And, you know, I love the game. And, you know, that was okay. All right, let's go do this. And he said, he goes, I remember when I was 14 and I was running and I had never run that fast before in my entire life.
Wow.
So now you just have this epiphany that, yeah, I can do this. And he said, the guys will look at him and, you know, they have that look in their eye. And he goes, don't go down that path. Don't feel sorry for me because I don't feel sorry for you and I'm coming after you.
I like it.
And he has that on the field all the time. And he was amazing. He was really, really impressive. And he's got a dynamic smile. You know, he was real nervous about his speech. And he, you know, we were talking about that. I said, you'll be fine. I can see your notes. I mean, just, you know, the one thing that can happen is you can lose your place. And if you lose your place, you know, trace it with your finger. You know, it doesn't matter that you're not using your hands when you're talking. If you want to make sure that you don't make a mistake, you know, that's the biggest thing that's going to happen when your eyes come up to the crowd and you go back down. It's going to be tough to find out where you left off. And he did it a couple of times, but he would just flash that huge smile, and you know, everybody loved him. So it was awesome. I'm cheering for him. He said his goal was 20 sacks when he came into the season. So I said, I expect at least 15.
Nice.
I mean, he's a, because you got four, two thirds of the way there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's got, yeah, only four games to go, but he's going to have to either tear it up for the last four games or get to 15. So I told him I'd start following him.
Well, I mean, that's not the only amazing story we're going to share right now. Somebody texted in from the 214. I got lost at the Byron Nelson when I was a kid, and I sat with Moose while he did a book signing until they found me. And he said that is still, he remembers that to this day.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
It really, really is. The East-West Shrine Bowl, and I'm sorry, we talked so much about Dallas. I don't want to underscore the fact or undersell the fact that you are also going into the Hall of Fame. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, that was very meaningful yesterday, especially, you know, with Jerry Jones coming out and presenting me. You know, that was very meaningful. And he shared some things that you know, we hadn't really, you know, talked about before. I've heard it from, you know, other people in the organization. But, you know, he talked about, you know, what my superpower was, you know, as a blocker. And he goes, you know, it doesn't always show up the way it was drawn up on the paper. You know, sometimes, you know, the ball is snapped and everything changes in front of you. And he goes, Daryl had the unique ability to block the biggest threat, maybe not his responsibility, but the biggest threat to the play. And we always got extra yards because he could always see that. And that meant a lot to me because that was something I took a lot of pride in, you know, not always just doing your job because that's what it says on paper. Okay, that guy is not going to be able to make the play. I'm going over here because that's the guy that's going to have the best chance to get Emmett. And so that was super meaningful. And then they wanted me to be able to reflect back on my experience at the game. So, you know, I was able to talk about Marcus Paul, who was the old strength coach for the Dallas Cowboys, who we lost prematurely to a blood clot and had an aneurysm. So Marcus was my captain at Syracuse, and we went out to the East-West Shrine game together, and we ended up becoming friends with, you know, several of the guys from Pitt, which was Burt Grossman at the time, a defensive end, Jerry Olsavsky, who was a linebacker, and Mark Stepnowski.
Who was
a center for the University of Pitt. So got to know Mark even before we became teammates in Dallas. And then Tony Tolbert. Tony Tolbert was at that game as well. So, you know, for me, it was kind of like the next stage I was going into, you know, the East-West Shrine game allowed me to meet, you know, two of my future teammates with the Dallas Cowboys and you know, get to know them at that time. So when we came into Dallas together, and then you kind of follow it, right? Because that's pre-draft, and you're like, yeah. Oh my God, that's, you know, I was with those guys out at the East-West Shrine game. This is going to be awesome. And because you're really nervous coming into that first organized activity as a rookie. And so to be able to have two guys that you met and became friendly with out at the East-West Shrine game made things a little bit easier in transition.
Those are some amazing memories. They are still doing good work to this day. ShrineBowl.com. Tickets as low as $20. The game, January 27th, Ford Center. Look, man, he just told you.
Yes.
You could be watching future Cowboys.
I love it.
Thank you very much for the time. Congratulations on the Hall of Fame honor as well. We love talking to you, man.
Yeah, good to catch up with you guys. Enjoy the rest of the season.
Thanks.
There you go. Daryl Johnston right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's always weird to just say it like that and not say Moose.
I love him. Do you remember the time that he said Merry Christmas to us and we didn't say it back?
And then, I remember how much that bothered
next time,
you.
I said, I love you. And he was like, I love you guys too. And then that was awesome.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.